Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a lovely weekend in the sunshine. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 12th of August. Our top story, 12-hour corridor waits at East Kent hospitals are now the third worst in England. Figures show the trust that runs A&E departments in Margate and Ashford is struggling with the persistent strain on its services. Kate's been looking at the data.
Last month, 1,085 patients were left waiting 12 hours or more to be admitted to a ward. Only Birmingham and Sussex Hospital Trust recorded a higher number. The figure for East Kent is up 34% on July last year and has been above 1,000 every month since November. Elsewhere at Medway Maritime, 661 patients were left waiting for at least 12 hours. It was 149 for Dartford and Gravesham NHS Trust and just 35 for Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells.
So why does there seem to be a particular problem in East Kent?
Well, a major factor is thought to be so-called bed blocking. That's when patients who no longer need treatment are kept in hospital because there's no suitable place for them to go, such as a care home or specially adapted accommodation. It means others who need to be admitted to a ward are forced to endure long waits and corridor care, which has been described as dehumanising by leading medics. Recruitment and retention of staff is also believed to be an issue. MPs in the area have met with the Trust's CEO to discuss their concerns.
And have we had a response from the Trust?
Yes, a spokesperson says their performance is improving, with 12-hour corridor waits falling 2 months in a row, but they admit there is much more that they can do to tackle the ongoing issues. The statement goes on to say more than three-quarters of all patients in our urgent and emergency care department are currently being seen, treated and discharged or admitted within 4 hours. They're also increasing their same-day emergency care service and supporting patients at home.
Thanks, Kate. And you can read some of the first-hand accounts from people who've had long waits in A&E in our story on the main page of our website.
Kent Online reports.
Two people have died in the Channel in what the government's described as a tragic incident involving a small boat. Around 50 others were rescued from the vessel, which got into trouble in French waters yesterday morning. Another 703 asylum seekers successfully crossed to the UK. The government say they're doing everything they can to stop people smugglers. A jury's found a serving Kent police officer not guilty of misconduct. 47-year-old Matthew Peel, who's based in Canterbury, was accused of pursuing an inappropriate relationship with a witness as part of a burglary investigation. He was suspended from duty when he was charged. A man in his 40s has died in a house fire in Faversham. It broke out on Salters Lane in the early hours of Saturday. Ellie Hodgson's been speaking to Tom Edwards, who's an area manager for Kent Fire and Rescue.
We were made aware of a large fire at a residential property. We attended, and at the height of the fire, we had 10 fire engines, a hype vehicle, and various other support vehicles at the scene. That also included our volunteer response team who were there supporting local residents from the impact of the fire.
So you had sort of 10 vehicles at its height. How many crew approximately do you think were sort of attending?
So if we had 10 fire engines plus the others there, I would estimate between 50 and 60 firefighters were there at the height of the fire, yes.
So I imagine you don't know exactly what the cause was at the moment?
No, the purpose of the investigation is to find out the cause. We earlier had a warning in form for the local community to remain indoors and keep their doors and windows shut due to the smoke. This has now been lifted, so local residents no longer need to do that.
Police say a report will be prepared for the coroner.
Kent Online News.
A 14-year-old boy from Tunbridge Wells has been charged in relation to disorder following the Southport stabbings. He's due in court along with a 41-year-old man, also from Tunbridge Wells. They're accused of being involved in riots in Whitehall in London on July 31st. Meantime, a man arrested at a demonstration in Chatham last Wednesday has been jailed for 14 weeks. It comes as the Archbishop of Canterbury's condemned the use of religious imagery during riots and labelled the far right unchristian. Writing in The Guardian, Justin Welby says violent unrest has been racist and anti-Muslim. He says Christian iconography has been exploited by the far right, which is an offence to the faith. An inquest has heard details about the death of a retired GP and his wife in Sandwich. Brian and Dillis Richards, who were in their 90s, were found dead at their home in the Butchery last month. Her post-mortems revealed he died from a gunshot wound while she suffered chemical poisoning. A full inquest will be held in October. At the time, police said the deaths were not being treated as suspicious. Now, a charity worker from Herne Bay says she's been assaulted by people who were accusing her of being a dirty immigrant. Maya runs a community support centre and free shop in the town. She says it all started a couple of weeks ago when she and her husband were verbally abused and threatened near the seafront. A video was then apparently posted online and they got hateful comments on social media. Maya says it got even worse a few days later when she was targeted at work.
They were driving by on the cars, telling me that I'm a dirty foreign immigrant. I have to take a boat. Constant abuse and threats in the food bank. I'm still like holding on. I'm still working regardless. I said, no, I can't close the food banks. And on Monday, one of them attended where I am. I was outside packing some bread for the food bank, and he threatened me, he abused me, and each time they do something, I thought, like, it can't get any worse. It can't get any worse than this. My kids, like, we live here. We live on top of the food bank. And what happened Monday night, it was at 10 p.m. As usual, I finished the food bank, I gone to my spot. It's just 3 minutes walk. It's a sea. I love the sea. And I was walking. It was 10 p.m. There is a place just in front of the cab. It's like a garden. I realized someone is following me. It was three of them standing behind me with the, like, black, what you call them, balaclavas or what they are. I've seen their eyes, but I try not to look in them because it's obviously, it doesn't matter how strong I am, I'm on my own there, and there's three of them, and it's my town. Why I have to be scared to go at 10 p.m. to my favorite bench just to watch the sea? And then they literally in front of me is like garden and a sea. I can't go anywhere. They're behind me, three of them. So they came down the stairs. They pushed me to the ground, and one of them was standing up, watching the area, looking to the right, left, and the two of them was crouching down, leaning on me, telling me that sea is right there and I have to take the boat. They said, you are dirty foreign immigrant, you're gonna take the boat. Is that if you're not going to take it, we're going to come and finish you off. And it was a lot of dirty abuse. They were kicking me. They were pushing me. It was about 10 minutes. They were abusing me. But what also was Sunday night, they broke the door of my flat on top of the food bank. There is glass panel door. They broke the glass panels, and I was only lucky because I have locks at the bottom, at the top. They broke the glass panels, but they reached the middle lock, but they couldn't reach the top and the bottom through that panels. And then my fire alarm gone off. My kids still scared. They say, Mom, are they going to burn us alive? Are they going to burn us alive? Like my middle one, she couldn't sleep. They invaded my privacy. They invaded my home. They abused my body, they abused me mentally, physically. I feel sick and disgust. And they were saying it's because I'm from Muslim country. Yes, I'm from Muslim country. I'm in UK for 15 years. I don't claim benefits. When I didn't have money, when all this cost of living started, I didn't claim benefits. I opened the food banks. I was working all this time. I didn't come here on the boat. I have British passport.
Police say they're investigating and providing support to the victims. The suspected arson attack has also been reported to officers.
Kent Online reports.
An investigation's underway after a suspicious fire at a housing development in Folkestone. Firefighters were called to tackle a blaze at a building site in Pond Hill Road near the Shorncliffe Heights estate on Saturday night. We're told construction materials had caught alight. A carer from Sheerness has avoided jail after stealing £12,000 from an elderly couple with dementia. 29-year-old Jodie Percival from Bramley Way was charged with fraud by abuse of position. Another woman had previously been ordered to pay back just £1. Elsewhere today, a disabled man has criticised Ashford Borough Council after being told he can't live in his dead dad's bungalow. Rob Pollock has osteoarthritis and wanted to move into his father's house in Charing because of his mobility issues and the memories attached. He suggested buying it or swapping with his current council home and described bosses as heartless for not allowing it.
Other people have spoken to me and they've been in the same situation. And I don't see that there's a problem. If it's like for like, then I don't see what the problem is, because they've still got, it's like mine, I've got a two-bedroom bungalow, and this is a two-bedroom bungalow. Mine's just been updated. This hasn't been updated for years. And I've offered to pay to update this one and pay to have my one redecorated, so that all they got to do is let it out. They haven't got to spend no money whatsoever. They just... not entertaining it at all. They won't even sit down, well, they haven't even sat down and spoke to us about it. They just said it's got to go back up for bidding again. But it's better for me, and there's a lot of family history in that here, so, and yeah, without with my mental health, because when I'm here, I feel that he's still with me.
The council say there's high demand for accommodation and they must offer it using their lettings policy to ensure fairness and transparency. There are currently more than 400 eligible people on the waiting list for a bungalow.
Kent Online News.
A memorial tree planted in memory of a preschool volunteer has been stolen as his family pays tribute to him. Dimples Day Nursery near Dartford planted the apple tree for the 89-year-old who'd volunteered there since it opened in 2022. The school and family say they couldn't believe it had been taken, leaving his plaque behind. Residents and businesses are preparing for a two-month road closure as gas works on the A251 start today. The road near Faversham is closing in phases, meaning drivers will have to take a 21-mile diversion between Canterbury this summer. The first phase has seen the stretch shut from the motorway slip road towards Ashford. The new Labour MP for Ashford has joined a campaign for Eurostar trains to stop in Kent again. The service stopped calling at Ashford and Ebbsfleet International stations during COVID. Nearly 60,000 people have signed a petition urging the company to restore it. Here's MP Sojan Joseph.
During the pandemic, the number of travel has gone down, but that's changed now. What I understand is the service is back in profit now. And also, and I believe the new government is attempting to improve the relationship with the Europe, which was damaged after the Brexit, is going to help us well. So we may get more travel between the UK and Europe. So there is still a potential for the services to return. So it's about... I mean, I don't know if you're aware, there was a survey done among the businesses. I think it was around hundreds of businesses involved in that survey support that the service to return. There's a campaign group collected signatures, around 50,000 people signed that campaign supporting the Eurostar to return. So it's very much supported by the public, the businesses. So it is for the Eurostar to, I'm sure they are aware of this. So the economy is changing. The relationship with the Europe is changing. So there is a potential for the service to return. This is not just an Ashford issue. This is the whole of Kent benefit from this travel. So the first steps, I think, is around working together collectively with the other members of parliament from this area, like Foxton, Dover, and other many other MPs in this area. This is not just a Labour party issue, it's a cross-party support we need to gain. And we collectively have a conversation with the Eurostar, meeting with the railway minister, which I had some communications already related to the Eurostar. So I think that's the first step to take, and to take it from there and speak to the Eurostar first and look into the other options.
A spokesperson for Eurostar says trains won't be stopping in Kent until at least the end of 2025.
Kent Online reports.
There are calls for toilets on part of the Kent coast to be upgraded after complaints about waste washing down nearby steps. The overflow reported by visitors was coming from public facilities in Botany Bay in Broadstairs, which is a blue flag beach. The council's been asked for a comment. Plans for a solar farm the size of 86 football pitches on high-grade farmland near Sittingbourne have been rejected. Developers were told it should be on roofs and car parks instead, but Industria Solar Vigo Limited insist it would have created enough power for 11,500 homes. The site is very close to the boundary of the Kent Downs National Landscape. You'll start to see new signs going up if you live in Sevenoaks, ahead of more roads becoming 20 mile per hour zones. Work starts this week and drivers will be given a month to get used to the change before it's enforced from October. Experts say a pedestrian is five times more likely to die if they're hit by a car travelling at 30 miles per hour rather than 20. Our reporter Oliver Leader de Sax has been speaking to Richard Streetfield, who's the county councillor for Sevenoaks Town.
It'll be safer because there will be fewer accidents and fewer serious accidents as a result of the speed restrictions. It'll be cleaner because cars will be producing less pollution, less fuel will be used across the town. It'll also be a lot quieter because at 20 miles an hour you can hear the difference and the town will be get back some of its calmness and its tranquility.
We've seen schemes like this rolled out across the country to kind of mixed reaction. Why do you think it's going to work well here in the town of Sevenoaks, but it may have not been well received in other places?
I think it's going to be really well received here because we've gone through 4 years of consultation in order to produce the scheme that's got cross-party support. 4 years ago I promised to support the petitioners in their efforts to get a 20 mile an hour scheme, and it's gone through three consultations and cross-party scrutiny on the Joint Transportation Board. So it's the town that's decided this, and we're really pleased to be able to introduce it because it will make a real difference to active travel in the town, to people's feeling of security in the town, and to people's safety in the town. The impetus for it came from 1,800 petitioners, and they are parents, they're elderly, they all saw good reason for reducing the speed across the town. And politically, I agree with them. And therefore, I used my members' grant money to provide not only the design work for the scheme, but also to consult more widely, because it shouldn't have been just the 1,800 petitioners who had the chance to have their say. It was necessary for everybody to have their say, and they did have that opportunity. And we got a level of response across the town that demonstrated that there was widespread support for a 20 mile an hour scheme in residential areas, close to schools, and one that affected the whole of the town.
What will be the outcome that residents will hopefully see come October and in the next couple of months, that we start to see these signs rolled out?
I was going to say, we're going to see action beginning to happen from the middle of August with the new gateways going in. Residents will see signs and lines going onto the roads in residential areas, around schools and across the town. There's a bedding in period of a month through September where residents will get used to driving at new speeds. Clearly, for somebody who's been driving on the same roads for 50 years, it's going to take time for them to get used to the new speed. But by October the 1st, we'll be ready for enforcement, and that means that residents will have to drive at those speeds from October the 1st.
And a yellow heat health alert's in force across Kent as temperatures soar. We're being urged to keep an eye on those who are vulnerable.
Kent Online Sport.
football, and Gillingham got off to a great start in the new League Two season with a 4-1 win over Carlisle United. Tim Deane scored the first goal for the Gills in the second minute, with their other goals coming in the second half. It was the first match for new manager Mark Bonner, who spoke to us afterwards.
We're really pleased because I think it's a tough, tough team, a tough first game on a difficult afternoon in terms of weather and things like that. So, you know, we've one or two that have played today that we've pushed into the team and had to change things around with the profile of our number nines recently. Boys have dug in and found a really good level at times in the game. We had moments where we found it difficult, obviously, against good sides, but if you'd have offered us this at the start of the day, we were absolutely chewing your arm off for it. So, yeah, like I've said this before, the connection with the team will build. This place will be bouncing if we get it right. There'll be even more people here. The noise levels will get even better as the season goes on. But for people to come out game one and see us score four goals, three at that end, I think really important. We want to break lots of myths that exist in this team. We want to build our own little records as we go. So to score four goals today, excellent. And I think the supporters enjoyed what they saw. Probably our best part of the game was the very beginning. And then I didn't like us after we scored. Really liked how we started the second half. And I thought the third goal was so important. And when we got it, that killed them a little bit mentally. And we were excellent. And we've got to play with that sort of vigour when the game's a little bit more in the balance. Really, really good start for us, game one. Loads to get better at, which is normal. But yeah, the lads are delighted, as they should be. And now 45 more to go.
They're in Carabao Cup action tomorrow night as they travel to Swansea City. And in cricket, it's been a mixed weekend for Kent in the One Day Cup. They beat Derbyshire away from home on Friday, but lost to Durham at Canterbury yesterday. The Spitfires finished their campaign against Northamptonshire later this week. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.